Well, lots of things happening in the church. At the end of the month, we are starting small groups that are going to run for 8 to 10 weeks. And at the end of this message, we have different small group leaders that are going to come up and give you an idea of the group that they are going to be leading and what's happening in that group. And so you'll have an opportunity to hear and then to sign up for a group at the end of the service. Going to share with you a message that's sort of a foundation message and really why we're having small groups. And you would have received a message fill-in sheet when you came in. Take that out, follow along with us, and take these thoughts home with you. Here's the first thought for consideration. The church is not an organization, but an organism. Now, hopefully the church is organized. I've been in some churches that were not organized, but the church is organized. An organism is organized, but an organism is more than an organization. The church is more than a group of people that gather together under some kind of, pledge or purpose, and so they meet and they try to accomplish something for whatever end. That's an organization. But the church is living. It's alive. It has the power of Christ. It has the resurrected life of Christ in it that separates the church from any other group. That's why the church is the hope of the world. It's Christ in a group of people who are accomplishing his ends on the earth. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling." There's one body. Now that body's meeting in different localities and groups, but from God's perspective, Christ is the head of the church, and then this body. And then there's local bodies that are much more interactive and are really the expression of this universal body of Christ. And so God's plan and desire is for every individual member of the church to not only experience the regenerating power of the Spirit of God that changes and transforms us, but then for those Christians to connect together, to be a body, and to work together as an organic whole to fulfill God's purposes. So here's your next consideration that you can fill in. My spiritual life flows through the body, the church. We have a personal anointing from God, but we don't have a personal it's our intent or our function is not personal. It's not an individual purpose, but it's a overall purpose that the Lord has for us. So we receive an anointing, but it's not based on our efforts and it's not based on our goodness. The anointing, the scripture says, come upon the head, and then the oil flows from the head down to the body. And so Christ is the one that receives the anointing oil, the power of God. It flows into us when we take a place under the headship of Christ. We bend our knee, bow our head, and as we come into the body of Christ, the flow of life comes to us. So every member receives a personal anointing, but it's not based on your individuality. It's actually based upon your receiving Christ and coming into this body. Now that is a truth that people really need to grasp and understand. Because your salvation isn't based on what you have done. It's based on what Christ has done. Your salvation is based on your humility and the yielding of your life to the Lord, coming under his headship. That's why the church is a body and he's brought us all together. Now, as such, 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, just as this natural body has different members, but it makes up the whole body. The scripture says it's exactly the same thing in the body of Christ. He's the head. We are individually members. We all have a different function. We look different. We have a different emphasis. We have a different drive, but we're all working together to one end. And for the body to be healthy and whole, it has to connect and work together. And no one can have an individual mindset. Now listen to what these words say in 1 Corinthians 12. It's a lengthy portion, but I'm not going to take a long time to really open it up other than to read it to you. And this is my prayer this morning. You'll hear these words fresh and anew. Some of you will have heard these verses many, many times. I don't want it just to roll off you like water off a duck's back. I want you to really hear these words as it relates to you. And what would your response be in light of these scriptures that Paul writes so long ago in 1 Corinthians 12? We're going to start reading in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. When you became a Christian and you received a baptism, whether it be in water or spiritual, spirit baptism, you were baptized into a body. That's where you found yourself. Not as by yourself. No, I'm part of a whole now. Whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So you see, he starts here by saying, you know what? We're different, but we're just one body and we're working together. And he takes a lesser member that speaks to a greater member. And he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Or the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the part of the body. And so you can't say as a weaker member, well, you know what? I can't do what everybody else can do. You know what? I don't think I'm really needed. I'm not really important. I guess I won't need to be involved because, you know, there are people that can do it better than I can do it. So he likens it to the body of the foot saying to the head, well, I don't have a brain. I can't decide. I can't do this. I can't this, and on and on and on. He says, no. He said, they're all important. And then he goes on in verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand. Now, here are two strong members. The eye is saying to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. God's put this body together. Having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, no division, no rift in the body. This needs to be a smooth functioning of the body. Someone can't say, well, you know, I got it together. I don't really need other people because I can handle this. I'm strong. I can do this. So I don't need other people. And he says, no, you can't do that. So you can't view yourself as a weaker member and say, well, I don't need anything or I can't. I'm not going to contribute anything. I don't need to be involved. Or on the other side, say, you know what? I think I can handle this. He says, no, everybody in the body, the Lord's placed them there. He has an important part for each person. No one can say, I'm not necessary. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ and members individually. Do you see yourself as that? Do you see that, yes, I'm an individual, I have talents, abilities, but I'm not to be on my own, I'm part of a whole. Now, it's vitally important you see this. You know, a lot of people nod and say, yeah, that's true, but they live their life as if they were individual. And it's optional, occasionally, opting into what the body's doing. But really, keeping myself in reserve to pick and choose and not get into the flow of the body, because that is what God has designed. He's designed us as a body. We're individuals with a personal anointing, but we, our purpose is together. Now let's move on to the next consideration here in your notes. Spiritual health, growth, and function are in the body. Your spiritual health, growing spiritually to mature in the Lord, and what you're to do with your giftings, all of that relate to the body. You can't do it individually. Your body is healthy because it's receiving a flow of nourishment and of life that's flowing. And if one member of your body is hurt or injured, its healing is a result of being in the body, and the body brings healing to it. If you hurt your finger and then cut it off and moved it aside and said, when you heal yourself, come back, it'll never heal itself. Healing's in the body, but that's exactly what Satan does to us. When you get hurt or injured in some way, he says, oh, you don't go to church today. Just hold back. You know, when you get better, then you go back to church. It's a lie of Satan to keep you from being healed. Your spiritual growth is part of being in the body. You receive from other people, and you'll be benefited by receiving from them. And then what we do together, collectively, the work we do, is a body function. It's not an individual function. My hand can't do things on its own. It needs the feet to carry it. It needs the heart to flow the blood through my hand. So my hand might grab something, but it's a function of the whole body. My eyes look to see where it was. My ear had a balance so I didn't fall. What we do, what the church does, is together, everyone contributing their part. And if the church is disjointed or someone's out of joint, it causes soreness. And it's a crippling effect on the body. It can't do what it normally would do because one member is crippled and sore and isn't moving, isn't flowing. So we limp or we feel pain because of the hurt. And so, as the natural body heals itself, and we care for our body. We don't, if a member of our body gets hurt, we don't say, oh, well, that's too bad you did that. No, that finger gets hurt, I hold it. I pull it too. Some people even kiss it. Whatever, the body works together. It's not you and me. It's we're one. And this is exactly what the Lord's trying to tell us in these scriptures. Listen to these verses in Ephesians 15 or 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. I mean, they're not just placed together, they're knit together. And those ladies that are here that do knitting, I mean, that yarn is knit and interwoven back and forth to produce a fabric. And it says that this is how the body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. The joint is where two members come together. So there's joints in the body, and every joint supplies something according to the effective working by which every part does its share. causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So every member is contributing something that's causing another member to grow and to benefit from it. Here's Romans 12, verse 4. It's all over the scripture here. I'm just reading these verses for you. For as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. We are different. We have different emphasis. We have different abilities. We don't have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Are you using your gift? Are you part of the body and contributing your part? Don't get to thinking, oh, well, I'm not necessary. We already covered that. Or, I'm sufficient. I don't really need that. Don't fall into Satan's lies. You're part of a body and you are necessary and important. So let's carry on here. Here's another analogy. He switches the analogy now to living stones in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4 to 6. Coming to him as a living stone, Christ is the cornerstone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he just switches the analogy now to say you're still living. These are living stones. But he says, you know what? You all individually are alive, but I have a purpose for you together. He said, I'm building up a spiritual house. God's purpose is the house, not the stone. The stone is made alive for a purpose. And he's building a wall. Now notice, it said it's living stones. We're not bricks. We're not humanly manufactured. We're not cut out like a cookie cutter. Everyone's got to be exactly the same, say it the same, believe the same in the sense of what's important. No, we all have different giftings. We all see it. We all function differently. And so we have to realize we are different. We're stones. We're not bricks. And that's why it's sort of hard to get together. Bricks you can just sort of stack anywhere. Pick any brick, it goes on. But a stonemason has to place the stones. Picks the stone, the shape, the color, the texture. He's building a wall. Now notice he's building a wall. He's not just making a pile of stones. Now folks, these analogies to me are very important. I've thought about them for years and they've helped shape my thinking. You see, God doesn't want just a bunch of living stones put in a pile. A pile that comes together on Sunday mornings. Let's just all get together and sit next to each other. That's sort of get the pile of people to come on Sundays. You see, it's hard to know whether someone's there on a Sunday morning or not there. Sometimes we go over that. Was so-and-so there? Was so-and-so there? You see, when there's a pile of stones, anybody could take a stone, carry it off, and no one would know it was missing. It's just, there was a pile of stone. How do I know if one's missing or not? But if those stones are put into a wall, and you take one of those stones out, your eye goes right to it. Oh, there's a hole there. What happened there? There's a nice wall, but there's a hole there. See, when you're in your place, sitting upon someone else resting upon you, being beside someone, finding your place and your function, you are important. A man's gift makes room for him. And when you contribute your gift, you have a spot in God's kingdom. And also, it's hard to take a stone out of a wall. Try to get that stone out. No, it's mortared in. How do I get that out? But if it's a pile of stones, you can pick it up easily and carry it off. All of this that is a picture of the body of Christ and how God wants us to function together as members. And so the question comes to this. Are you connected? Are you connected and a functioning part of the body of Christ? It's not enough just to have life, but are you part of the body? You can be a living stone, but are you being placed into the house that God wants to build? Now, what keeps us from being part of the body of Christ? Because there seems to be a reluctance. There's something that keeps us back, and there's all kinds of things. Obviously, we have an enemy of our soul, Satan, who wants to lie to us and tell us you're not important and you're not needed and your gift isn't. And he tries to bring division in the body. He wants rifts and schisms in the body. He doesn't want the grace of God and the mortar of the Holy Spirit and the mortar of love to be able to take the rough edges of this stone and the rough edges of this stone, put them in with the mortar that puts them all together. No, he wants us to rub against each other and grind against one another and become concerned and annoyed with one another and irritated. And he loves to get the body in that kind of state because he knows it becomes ineffective and it can't be what God wants us to do. So what keeps us? And here's something that I think is that keeps us, and it's this, and it's your next fill-in. We avoid connection to protect our image. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be known by other people. Well, maybe, you know, just associate. But I don't know how close I want to get to someone. Because we all want this image. You know what the image that we want to have? We want an image that we're seen as a good person. Financially sound with a successful career. Having a satisfying marriage and well-behaved kids. Don't we all sort of... I mean, if I were known as that, we'd say, yeah, you know, I don't mind that. So we put that image forward to people. How are things going? Okay. And we present ourselves as, you know, everything's going good, and yet we're suffering inside. And we're not healthy. We're hurting. We need to be healed. And Satan is telling us, don't go to church. Don't go to church. You stay away from the body. He knows if he can keep you away from that life-giving source, then you're going to just continue in that state. And so you've got to learn to say, you know what? I want to take my mask off. I'm not going to compare myself with other people. And that's the verse here in 2 Corinthians 10:12. To be sure, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who speak highly of themselves. On the contrary, when they measure themselves only by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. And yet, we tend to do that a lot, don't we? Compare ourselves, put an image forward to other people. Here's the next thought. We will always feel incomplete without a true spiritual connection. You will always feel incomplete. You won't feel healthy, strong. You won't feel vibrant. You won't have a sense of satisfaction and peace about your life if you're disconnected from the body. You need a true spiritual connection. Not just my body sitting next to another body, but no, my heart joined with someone else's heart. Where we've got to know one another and connect with someone else. Now, just as in the body, you can't connect with everybody. You know, a member in my body isn't connected with every other member, but no, the finger's connected there, but that's connected here, and that's connected to the body. And so we need to connect with a few people and a true connection where you take your mask off and you can just be yourself and you become vulnerable. But it's in that moment of openness that life flows to you and helps you. We all have this drive, even though we're reluctant, the drive to connect. Here's your next fill-in. We long for a safe place to be ourselves, where we can belong, be loved, and accepted. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Just have a place you can go and be yourself and know, hey, you know, no one's going to criticize me. No one's going to reject me. I'm going to be accepted there. I'm going to be loved there. We all long for it. And that's the place that God has for us in the church. He wants us to press into that and be connected and allow that life-giving source to come to us. Here's some verses that speak to how the church should function and the admonition to us. Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. We should accept people just the way God accepted them. Don't put your screen up. Oh, I don't think they spoke to me just right. And I don't like what they're doing. Why don't we just accept people like Christ accepts people? Here's next verse, Romans 14:1. Accept into your group someone who is weak in faith, and do not argue about opinions. We all have opinions about things. We all are different. We all see things differently. Now, obviously, there are some foundational truths we all need to agree on and believe. Otherwise, we're not walking in God's truth. But, you know, there's a lot of other issues that, as the Bible calls them, disputable things. Someone thinks this about this. Someone else thinks something about that. And the Bible says, you know what? Don't, when you're together, don't look at the things you disagree on. Look at the things you agree on and flow together into that. Galatians 6:2. You obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand. If you think you are better than others, when you really aren't, you're wrong. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So let's think about ways how we can connect, encourage one another, support one another. So some of the ways we've been thinking about is small groups. Small groups are not an end within themselves. They're a means to an end. Small groups are a way where people can get to know one another on a little deeper level. You get to know the person's name. You learn a little bit about what they do for a living. You learn a little bit about their family. You learn a little bit about what they're struggling with. Because it's all part of the small group and some of the questions. And the prayer time comes up. How can we pray for you today? But it's all motivated by love and concern and acceptance. And there's a flow of life that comes to you through that. It says some people have forsaken getting together. Now here's the dangerous part. They may be getting together physically, sitting side by side, but never connecting. Always an individual coming in and I'm an individual. The other person comes in and I'm an individual. And no, the two will never meet. I mean, I'll exchange a pleasantry. You know, how are you doing? Fine. But never really connecting. See, this getting together is more than going to the same geographical location on a Sunday. But it's having your life connect with someone else. And God has those connections. They're God-given connections. He's put the body together as he desires. Here's James 5:16. Confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another. Because we will. We're human. I mean, we're not perfectly perfect. We're only slightly perfect. No. But we're not perfect. So he says, confess and acknowledge how you've offended one another. And then pray for one another to be instantly healed, because that's where the healing comes. Openness, connection, sharing. For tremendous powers released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Oh, Lord, I want to be a godly believer. I just want to find my place in the body. Stop judging people. Just help people. Encourage people. Do what you want me to do. Cooperating with other people. Being part of the body. Here's your final fill-ins. Jesus shows the different levels of connection. First, in a public gathering, Jesus taught 5,000 people and he ministered to large groups, and that was beneficial. And our coming together here on a Sunday morning is beneficial. Hopefully what I'm doing now will help you and encourage you. It's a large group meeting. And it's great for instruction, it's great for worship, it's great for a lot of things. It's just not that great for fellowship because the group is large. It's not that great for accountability and getting to know one another because it's too large. And so it's limited, but it's good. Jesus gathered in a public gathering. But then he also had a small group. It was his disciples. He had 12 people that he met with, lived life with, ate with, prayed with, shared with. His small group. And then he had an intimate circle. From that small group, he had Peter, James, and John. You'll find different places in the scripture. He would call Peter, James, and John to come a little more further with him. When he's praying in Gethsemane, they go all together. But then he says to them, come a little further. And then he opens his heart to them. He said, oh, my heart's sorrowful, even unto death. He says, pray with me. And Jesus starts praying, but they sleep. But he's still relying on him. He keeps coming back to them. You know, can you pray with me? He says, your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. See, that's our problem many times in connecting. We know in our spirit it's right, but because of the weakness of the flesh, we don't carry through on the things. But everybody should have a group of two or three close friends that you can share anything with. I tell you, I feel sorry for people that don't have that. Because you know when the chips are down and everything is going, you know, when everybody else is walking out, those are the two or three people who are walking in. And we all need that in different times in our life. And so these are different levels of connection in the body of Christ. And so, as it relates to us today, we're talking about small groups, putting groups together with a common interest that people can get together on a weekly basis, get to know each other, connect a little bit, pray together, maybe function together in a certain way. And there's different small groups at different times. Now, we're only going to talk about 7 this morning. There's probably 100. And there may be many of you that, you know, as this is open, God might plant in your mind an interest in a small group that either you would lead or be part of a group that might be on something we're not even going to talk about this morning. So I want to stop right now.